All right, Craig, thank you. It is, let's just wait 2 seconds. Here we go. It is 5:07 straight up on Hometown Radio. I'm Dave Congleton. It is Tuesday, January 14th, 2020. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you'll stick around. We're only halfway through the broadcast. In about an hour, Jennifer Stover is going to be here. We're going to talk about breastfeeding. We want to talk about it from an economic, racial, and cultural perspective. And the alleged perceived bias that is against single moms in the workplace. So we'll hear from Jennifer. Hopefully we'll hear from you as well. This segment, stay with us. Richard Schmidt is back on this broadcast. He has lived in this town forever. He's one of the sharpest guys I know. And when he speaks up, I, for one, listen. We had the representatives of Monterey Bay Community Power on this broadcast last Thursday. If you missed that conversation, the podcast is up at 920kvc.com. And perhaps you saw the lengthy article in the Tribune as San Luis Obispo and Morro Bay celebrate the switchover to community choice energy. Richard is here to, shall we say, give us a slightly different perspective. He joins us now. Richard, good afternoon.
Hi, Dave.
Nice to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, it's always nice to be here.
You want to start with the Tribune article?
Sure.
What was your reaction?
Well, it's really a momentous moment in the fight against global warming. The Tribune's article last week was a big article, hit most of the points. Started off with a headline, "Slo and Morro Bay now received cleaner energy and it's cheaper, officials say." And then there was a picture from a press conference with the caption, said in part, "Monterey Bay Community Power is now providing electricity to San Luis Obispo and Morro Bay from green sources." And then the story began. "A new way of receiving cleaner power has arrived in San Luis Obispo and Morro Bay, and it will significantly reduce carbon emissions." And as you go through the story, there's repeated references to cleaner power, carbon-free power. Then it tells us that we will save from $3 to $10 a month using the Monterey Bay Community Power, power rather than PG&E's. And then the mayor, Mayor Harmon, added that the change for San Luis Obispo will remove 20,000 metric tons of carbon emitted into the atmosphere. Presumably that's a year. She doesn't say that. The article doesn't say that. Now, Dave, how could you not be excited about this? This is just great.
The words escape me.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that other than it's maybe saving you a little bit of money, these things aren't exactly true.
Before we go there, though, Richard, why don't we back up and remind people what we're talking about?
Okay.
Let's give them a little bit of background.
Right. Monterey Bay Community Power is one of the new community choice aggregators that is that has been allowed to be set up by the state, public agencies, to compete with the legacy utilities like PG&E in providing power. Only power. They're not providing any services. They're only providing power. And the idea originally was that they should be given a separate set of rules to operate under from what the legacy utilities have to operate under, and that they would speed up the adoption of green power in the state, although the legacy utilities have to do that as well.
Yeah.
And that they might be able to provide the power for lower cost.
And Morro Bay and San Luis Obispo are officially, those cities are on board. Arroyo Grande, Paso Robles, and Grover Beach are slated to begin next year. Atascadero said not now, and the Board of Supervisors haven't voted on it yet for the unincorporated areas.
Right. And the agency was originally set up to serve Santa Cruz, Monterey, and San Benito counties. Our city here in San Luis Obispo wanted to set up an agency of their own. They found that that was financially infeasible. And so they begged Monterey Bay to let them join, and Monterey Bay said sure.
Yeah. So that's the background. And from the Tribune article, and people are going to be switched over automatically unless they opt out. We should stress that.
Absolutely.
The burden is on them to opt out.
Within those two cities, Morro Bay and San Luis Obispo.
Yeah. But here we are. We're going to save the environment.
We are indeed. The problem is it's not that simple. So if we look at what Monterey Bay actually is offering us, first of all, they are not delivering anything to us. They are buying power in our name and reselling power to us. But the power that we get will be the same power that PG&E customers get. It's what's in the lines that feed San Luis Obispo and Morro Bay, and it is far from green. And the reason that's important is the city wants to create all electric homes on the pretext that that's going to eliminate global warming gases from using, well, not just fossil fuels, but natural gas in particular. The problem is that 40% of the power, the electric power that we get, is generated from fossil fuel sources. And to make electricity out of natural gas, for every one unit of electricity that you get from a gas plant, you are using 3 units of gas energy, which means that you're actually increasing global warming emissions, if you switch to all electric homes with that kind of power. Mm-hmm. So the stories don't fit together, and I think it's probably that our public officials don't really understand this stuff. I hope it's not that they're deliberately trying to deceive us, but the stories don't add up.
What would be their motive in deception?
I don't know.
So the energy is not necessarily going to be cleaner?
It's not going to be cleaner. It's going to be exactly what we're using now, or we have exactly what we used last year.
One of the things that came up last week is the idea that some of this energy could even come in from other states.
Absolutely. So here's the deal on that. The legacy utilities are required by the state to seek more renewables inside the state of California, which means they see that they are built. They contract with builders to take their power. The Monterey Bay type organizations play under a different set of rules. They don't have to do that. They can go out of state and buy, quote, clean power. Now, in their case, 2/3 of their power is coming from large-scale hydro, which is not considered renewable under the state's regulations. And it's all old hydro. A lot of it comes from the Pacific Northwest. Some of it has been around since the New Deal days. So putting our name on that does absolutely nothing to cut down on global warming. That is old power. The pretext that they're using new renewables and spurring the growth of renewables is at this point just a pretext. That hasn't happened yet. Their renewable, the proportion of their portfolio, okay, introducing the notion of portfolios. What a power company buys and resells is called their portfolio.
Right.
That is not what is in the power lines. What's in the power lines is a mix of everybody's portfolio. So their portfolio for PG&E is 39% renewable. For Monterey Bay, it's 34%. So PG&E is actually ahead of Monterey Bay on renewables.
And could Monterey Bay end up using energy from PG&E?
Well, it's all the same energy. So I suppose they could buy some of PG&E's surplus, because PG&E may very well have a surplus with so many customers deserting for the community choice aggregators.
Mm. Richard Schmidt on Hometown Radio, continuing our conversation about community choice energy. We'll pick up that conversation. Your phone call still to come. I'd stick around. You're listening to AM 920, FM 96.5 News Talk, KVEC. You know, we like to give you multiple points of view on this broadcast, and we leave it up to you to decide. So last week we heard from some of the members of the Monterey Bay Community Power. They talked about what's going on. They took your phone calls. Richard Schmidt is here. And as we come back to you, Richard, just to underscore, it's not that you're necessarily against the idea of community energy. You're more concerned about the process.
Yeah, I'm definitely not against the idea of what these agencies are supposed to stand for. I'm kind of actually in a peculiar position because I attack what the city council is doing from, I guess, what you'd call the enviro left, and a lot of people on the non-enviro right identify with what I'm saying. So, but anyway, that's great. I'm glad we can exchange ideas. And as they say, if the left hand reaches around behind the back, it shakes hands with the right hand. Anyway, I don't think the principle of the thing is wrong. What's wrong is that this is being sold to us with basically a bill of goods.
Off the Stolberg Law KVC text line, listener number one, this reminds me of when we decided to deregulate the power companies and we saved all that money, right?
Right. Well, I don't know.
And then the second listener is texting in, somebody is being bought, big money, and it's not in the general public interest at all.
Yes, there is a tremendous amount of confusion. There's a tremendous amount of cynicism about this. And it hasn't been helped by the way it's been handled politically and just kind of rushed through. There's been a terrible job of communicating this. I started writing about Monterey Bay Community Power and our transition to it last spring because there was no information about it. We're heading down towards like 7 months to the turnover of our power supply to them. And we weren't being told anything about it. And so I started looking into it. And the more I looked into it, the more I found, the more crazy it became. The agency was supposed to inform all new customers four times, once in November, once in December, once in January, and again in February, that they were changing over and that they could opt out, and telling people how to opt out. A lot of people have received none of those notices. I haven't.
And you're a resident of San Luis Obispo.
I'm a resident of the city.
And you've received no email or traditional mail notices?
No. The thing I got, the only notice I've received was a little bill insert in my utility bill from the city, but that's not one of the ones that's required from the agency itself. I did receive a notice telling me that, I don't know what it was telling me. It was pretty ambiguous, but it was because I make solar power. There was a special notice for those people saying that you would be transferred either in January or in April, depending on blah, blah, blah.
All right.
That's all.
So the question I should have asked you earlier, are you opting out?
I haven't decided. I can't get a straight answer from them about how it affects my solar usage, my solar production.
Mm. What about the cost?
The cost.
Because they claim that you're going to save money.
Yes. Well, let's see. The mayor... What did she say? She said $3 to $10 a month. So I ran the numbers on that. The first thing you need to understand is that your bill is going to be exactly like the PG&E bill, except that the energy portion of it, which is a small minority of your bill, is going to be from Monterey Bay, billed by PG&E.
All right, they're still doing the billing.
But yes, PG&E is still doing, yeah. You'll still get a PG&E bill.
Right.
In fact, you might not even notice... You don't read it carefully that there's been a change in who's providing your power. So Monterey Bay says that they will offer a rebate or a discount, depending on how you look at it, on the power, the actual power that you use and purchase from them. They have an example of, well, their website is continually changing, so I don't know if this is still there, but they had an example of a sample bill on their website showing you what it would look like. And the bill was for $153 total per month, of which only $44, less than a third, was for Monterey Bay. And the rebate or discount that they're offering per month on that, no, they're offering, I guess, at the end of the year, but they're offering a rebate on your monthly energy charges, would amount to $2.20. And that's on a $150 bill. Now, Dave, I don't know what your bills are like. I've never had a $150 bill in my life.
And not per month. I pay about $50 a month right now.
Yeah, so you're going to save, you're not even going to save enough for a coffee at McDonald's, let alone a nice latte.
I'm looking at your one of the articles. You've written several articles about this. You talk, there's a rebate. Don't they offer a 3% rebate at the end of each year?
Yes, now it's up to 5. Some people say it's 7, but if you read the fine print on their webpage, it seems to say that the 7 is actually 5, which I can't figure out. But and it's the other thing that people are saying that this is talking like this is a sure thing. It's not. It's money on a money available basis. And if you read the description on their webpage of what the rebate is, it's something that they hope to be able to offer every year. But there are no promises there.
When I interviewed JR and Corey last week, we asked them about the cost savings. And JR, what we finally heard from him was, well, that's our goal. It is our goal to have cheaper prices.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But there's the market. And there's fluctuations, and no one knows for sure. And what do we know about the company itself, Monterey Bay Community Power? They've been around for about 2 years now.
Yeah, they've been in existence for about 2 years. They started serving customers, it'll be 2 years this March for their first customers, 2 years this June for their first residential customers. So they're a startup. They're a little company that that is just getting going, and they don't have much of a track record.
Off the Stolberg Law KVC text line, listener number 3, I still don't understand how cities or counties can just change you over. And if I don't opt out in the right time frame, I have to pay a fee, and as I understand, may be locked in for a year.
I think you can opt out at any time. You can opt out for free during the first 60 days of your service, which would be through January and February and into the beginning of March, whenever your billing date is, because the publicity makes it sound like we were all changed over on January 1st. We're not. We're changed over on our PG&E billing date, and that varies depending on who you are and where you are. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. So how do people opt out if they want to opt out?
How do people opt out? You have to either call Monterey Bay or you go to their website. There have been some complaints that I have seen that things are not working at their website all the time, that you may not actually be opted out after you think you're opted out. There are just a lot of problems that I think go beyond what you would call startup problems, where they're in over their heads organizationally.
Trying to do too much too soon?
Too much too soon. They're growing too fast.
All right, Richard Schmidt is on this broadcast. We are talking about the concept of community choice energy. It's already happening in Morro Bay and San Luis Obispo. It's going to happen next year in Paso Robles and Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande. Are you still confused? Stick around. When we come back, we'll welcome your phone calls, read more of your text messages, and talk more with Richard Schmidt. I'm Dave Congleton. We're live, we're local. This is Hometown Radio. You with us on Hometown Radio. I'm Dave Congleton. My guest for the hour continues to be longtime resident Richard Schmidt. We're talking about the idea of community choice energy. We had a couple of folks on last Thursday from Monterey Bay Community Power. As I've been telling you all along, if you're in Morro Bay and San Luis Obispo, the switchover has happened. If you're in Paso Robles, Arroyo Grande, or Grover Beach, that's going to happen in 2021. Everybody else, to be determined. Richard is not necessarily against the idea, but he doesn't like the process. If you want in on the conversation, join us, 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Invite your participation in the conversation. What would it take to get you on board?
To get me on board, meaning what? Opting?
Yeah, no, just what would it take to get you on board community energy, community choice?
I think presenting it to people realistically instead of presenting it with false pretenses. I think public officials who really understand that electrification of houses with this power is a step backwards rather than a step forwards. Realism, honesty.
We got Craig on KVEC. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Richard, I'm glad you've been on the show because you're kind of bringing to light, I think, you know, pulling a few more people out that have not really been satisfied with how the system or this whole process has been initiated. And I'm one of them. I actually called last Thursday and said, I've already made up my mind. I'm opting out. You had mentioned that you'd gotten no notices. I got one about 3 weeks ago. It basically was welcome to your new power company. And down at the bottom in real fine print had the stuff about opting out. But it was pretty vague.
And Craig, what's your problem with it?
It's just the whole, a lot of it, I told you the other day when I called, I learned more about this whole thing on your show than I did from the city of San Luis Obispo. And I have a real problem that the city has decided, well, we're just going to make this switch over without anybody's permission. They just did it. And they can say, well, you know, they held hearings, but, you know, they always held hearings just so they can legally say they held a hearing, and then they do what they darn well please anyway. But that's my biggest problem is this whole process with the whole thing. I've been planning on going solar anyway, and so, you know, I'm not saving anything. I told you the other day when I called and talked to them that I'm going to be saving about $2.50, maybe $3, and I can't even go buy a foo-foo coffee drink for that amount of money.
Yeah.
So,
Richard,
Richard,
want to comment on this?
I think actually Craig has hit on something that I had not talked about, which is that there was no community buy-in on this. It was just something that was done by the council, and they will say, of course, that they held a public hearing on it, but a public hearing is not legitimate public discussion. That takes place behind the scenes somewhere. In this case, it took place behind the scenes that none of us knew about. I think there are serious problems with the way this city is being run. It's being run in a top-down, authoritarian, anti-democratic way, despite what the progressives are saying. We have nowhere near as much legitimate participation and decision-making as we have in the past when progressives were not in charge. So I'm glad you brought that point up.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're on today because, you know, I've been feeling this way for some time with the city, but this was just one more kick in the groin. But, you know, one other thing that I did bring up, though, was that how is it that the mayor and the city administrator can be on the board? They're part of the ones that made the decision on switching over, and now they're on the board. How can that not be a conflict of interest?
Well, they explained that last week. That's with all the different communities.
Not to my satisfaction. It's okay. Just, you know, legally, how can they do it?
Are you concerned about that, Richard?
Yeah, I find the whole thing rather curious. Monterey Bay has three different advisory boards. One sets policy, and that consists of people like our mayor, who incidentally represents both San Luis and Morro Bay. Morro Bay seems to have just opted out of even being involved. The second one is the administrative board, which runs the business side. That is our city manager, representing city of San Luis and of city of Morro Bay. And then there is a community advisory board, and the member was chosen by the city council, who knows how, because there was no open recruitment process. Mm. A young man who's with the Climate Coalition, which is a private club that has been fostering this idea.
All right, Craig, thanks for the call. We got Jeff on KVEC. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, good evening.
Hi, Jeff.
What percentage does the city of San Luis and Morro Bay get? I know that obviously that's the reason why they switched, because they get a larger cut, right, a tax?
I'm not aware that the city has any financial benefit from it.
Oh, okay. I thought they got a percentage, like a tax.
Well, there is a franchise fee that utilities pay, but this isn't a utility. This is an energy broker.
So these guys are just middlemen. They don't own solar farms.
No.
I mean, you see on the brochure they show windmills. I mean, are they lining up the power from green energy sources and that feeds into the grid, and supposedly that's how we're supposedly going to be getting some green power? So is that the deal?
Yeah, they are energy brokers. They buy energy on the open market and they resell it to us. Same role. I hate to bring up the word Enron, but it basically Enron was supposed to have been an energy broker. Turned out there were aspects of Enron that I don't think apply here at all, and I'm not insinuating.
Yeah, we
that.
Know what happened with Enron, and Dave was just mentioning the conversation last week where these guys can't guarantee they will even have any savings. I mean, it could end up being higher.
Well,
there's
already been kind of a shakeout down in Ventura County with their community choice aggregator. The number of the cities in the county down there decided that they were going to opt in at the more expensive 100% renewable level, and they didn't read the fine print very carefully, and they found that their rates had gone up to the point that they were being charged far more than they would be charged by Southern California Edison. At least one city went back to SoCal Edison.
So this is in Ventura County?
Ventura County. It was only something that affected large users.
All right, Jeff, thank you. Lance is in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Lance.
Dave, how are you doing?
Good.
Good. You know, I opted out, and I got all my notices in the mail to me, and the first notice I got, I want to say was probably in November, and the second notice in December I got. I called the 800 number, opted out. I'm assuming I'm actually opted out. Talked to the guy. Wasn't real informative because I had a lot of questions. A lot of it was this quote-unquote savings that they're talking about, because I have a friend that I play golf with down in Texas who is an energy broker, but he does it for large commercial, pretty much oil companies down there, and his job is to go out and buy energy for these companies and basically resell it to them. And I told him what was going on. He goes, oh yeah, they can't say anything about the future because they have no idea, first off, where they're going to be able to get their power. And he goes, especially in California, because what it is we're not creating any new generation plants, really, with the exception of some solar and some wind. And they don't know what the kilowatt hour rate is that they're going to be able to produce. And this whole thing about green energy, he goes, no, they're going to have to find energy. If they have to produce, or if they have to lock in X number of units, they've got to go anywhere and everywhere because they're on the hook for supplying that energy.
Right.
They're hopefully they're going to get it from renewables or whatever. But if he goes, if they don't, they're going to be buying stuff from coal fire plants in Arizona. They're going to be getting stuff from gas fired plants. Because he says they're on the hook, and he goes, there's no way they know what their savings is going to be in the future because they don't know who's going to be generating power for them. If you want, opt in, but you're not going to get any savings and everything. But I just opted out. I want to see how this all plays out for a bit.
Richard, how do you react?
Right. Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head. However, there is a fine point here, which they are not saying that they are going to be able to offer cheap power, although that is the implication. They're saying that they will offer us power at the cost that we pay PG&E and then give us a rebate on that if they have the ability to do so.
And that's it. And that's what I tried to pin the guy down that I talked to on the phone. I said, can you guarantee this in 5 years? And he goes, well, no. And I said, so you could say anything, and it'd be like, hey, great. And then when it doesn't happen, you could say, we had this happen, this happened, this happened.
That's why the guys on the radio last week said that's the goal, and that's as far as they would commit.
Yeah, but everything that's been said, it's like, oh, it's going to be a great savings, and it's all going to be green power. And that's just, to me, that's how it was sold a year ago prior to the city coming in, because I'd been kind of watching this on the cursory, on the sidelines, and that's how it's been betrayed, is it's green power cheap.
Yeah. All right, Lance, thanks for calling in. Richard Schmidt on this broadcast talking about community choice energy, giving us a different perspective from what we heard last week. Join us, 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Brett is in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Brett.
Hi, Richard.
Hi.
So, yeah, so I opted out, too. We'll see how it plays out. And I can always opt in. But one of my things is, you know, why isn't the city, you know, taking on this responsibility? We have a lot of open space. We have a lot of wind. And, yeah, people aren't going to like those, you know, big wind generators up on our ridge lines, but we need to be taking responsibility, too. And I don't know why we're not. I mean, why should some suckers out in Tehachapi have to look at a bunch of windmills or big solar farms? I think the city needs to, I mean, supposedly the progressive Democrats are certain the majority on the council, and I don't know why they aren't looking at the city's open space saying, okay, we're going to allow wind generation in those areas.
Well, I guess the technical explanation would be that our open space is not set aside for that. But there is the possibility of some wind generation offshore locally.
Well, I think you have... My thing is, there's consequences to your actions. And we need, as a city, to own up to those consequences. Mm-hmm. If we want to be 100% renewable, then the consequences are you have wind generation in your open space. And, yeah, it's not pretty to look at.
Okay,
but
well, here's...
Go ahead, Richard.
Here's something that really bothers me about the entire process. We're being sold a bill of goods, I think, when we're told that all we have to do is decarbonize and we're going to save the earth. The problem is we use too much of everything. We use too much energy, and I see absolutely no movement in connection with this to cut down on the amount of energy that we use. I'm an architect, and I've worked in green architecture for quite some time, and... Our buildings are terribly wasteful. Even code-compliant buildings are terribly wasteful. You could save an awful lot more energy. We really need to be thinking about not just increasing the supply of green energy, but reducing the demand to the point that the green energy that we can produce will fulfill our demands.
All right. Anything else, Brett?
Well, one of the things I just want to point out to the city is, you know, a number of years back, they bought a number of hybrids, plug-ins, right? But we had no charging stations. I mean, it was like... You bought these plug-ins with no charging stations. Apparently, I think I just saw the staff report from last night's meeting. I think they're going to put some charging stations in, finally. But you know, that was 6 years ago.
Well, they put a whole bunch right? in the Marsh Street garage.
Yeah, but we bought these, you know, Priuses plug-ins, you know, some time ago with no charging ability. It was just to say we were doing something. We didn't do anything. All ran on gas.
Must have gotten a great deal. Thank you, Brett.
Thanks.
Here's Pat on KVEC. Hi, Pat.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you.
A couple of years ago, during the summer, my customers were calling me going, what's going on? My bill has doubled, and I'm not using any more electricity than I was the year before. And I was doing research on it, couldn't get any answers, and I finally got it from a PG&E guy, and he said the PUC is the one that sets the rate on how much we pay. So they were... putting extra amount of money on everybody's bill to see if they could create an incentive, and this is how stupid it is, not to use electricity like we really have a choice. So they implemented it like about 2 years later, and now we're doing time of use. No one's talking about time of use. That's not the cost of electricity, time of use. That's money the PUC is taking between the difference of what PG&E is allowed to charge for electricity, and they're taking the money, God knows where it's going. And another thing, this reminds me back in the oil days when guys were making companies that would produce five-story buildings, and they were just selling out of a phone book, a phone stand, and they had no company, and they were selling oil that was already in the pipe. They were buying it and reselling it in the pipe. This is all the same electricity. PG&E is doing their part. A couple years ago, maybe go back 4 years, PG&E asked the PUC if they could invest a bunch of money into fixing their infrastructure, which is all their lines. And they were told, no, you have to invest that money into renewables. So then when we get all these fires and they say, well, PG&E didn't invest any money in their infrastructure, well, they wanted to, they just weren't allowed to.
Mm-hmm. Richard, you want to jump in here?
One more thing. I just recently heard a fireman down there in that burning up... continent, and he said, we're going to have fires. It doesn't matter what causes it. And he says, we just have to deal with what's burning. And instead, here, we're always deep pockets. We go after the person we think that started and caused it. That what caused the fires is immaterial to the fact that they had too much fuel around and it burnt. And it was going to burn anyway, no matter who caused it.
All right, Pat, thanks for calling in. Any reaction?
I don't think so.
All right, Pat, thank you. Off the Stolberg Law KVC text line, what is the downside? What if you do switch to Monterey Bay power and your bills are a little bit higher? Can you switch back?
You can switch at any time. They are allowing you to opt out for free, as I said, during the first 60 days of your service with Monterey Bay. I think it's $5. There's been some confusion about exactly how much of it is. It is after that, and apparently once a year on your annual anniversary, you can switch back for free. Going the other direction, if you go from PG&E to Monterey Bay says they will pick up the fee for you.
Next text. If community power is as good as we're being told, why can't we opt in instead of being forced to opt out?
Well, that's a good question. I think the answer is that there's so much hype about the degree to which these agencies are going to be able to save the earth from global warming that legislature was persuaded to allow cities to do exactly what has been done, which is to opt everybody in automatically.
Eric's in Templeton on KVEC. Hi, Eric.
Good evening.
Hi.
What I haven't been able to figure out is a lot of cities and a lot of counties have paid a lot of money for studies. I think Santa Barbara being one of them. And basically, I mean, I think they spent somewhere around $700 to $1 million on three different studies, and a lot of these cities are doing the studies. They're telling them not to do it, and then it's almost like they pay the last one to say, yeah, do it, and they're not listening. They're paying all that money, and they're not listening to what these analysts have to say, and it seems like it's just an agenda. If we go to this, we feel good about ourselves, you know? And I know there's at least three studies of counties surrounding us that all said it's a bad idea, and they just kept doing them until they got the answer they wanted.
I'm not aware of the studies you're referring to, so I'm sorry I can't really comment on that.
Yeah, Santa Barbara, I believe, did three, and they did them until they got the answer they wanted, and they spent close to, I think, $1 million on these studies and didn't listen to them. I think county did one, a very small one, of San Luis Obispo, that said, yeah, it may be a good idea, but you better put some money in your coffers if it goes wrong. And the progressives on the board here, just they don't know what they're talking about. You know, you hired them to do a job. They did the job. They didn't have an agenda, and we don't want to listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I find it interesting. I'm not opposed to it. I don't know if it's good or bad. I look at deregulation, what happened then, and it was horrible. You know, when we deregulated in the 90s, prices skyrocketed, and we had energy shortages. Yeah, so right. That was just my two cents.
I'm glad you called, Eric. Thank you. Any other comment, Eric?
I don't think so. I think he's hit on an interesting point with the issue of studies.
There are a lot of people, yourself included, that you're not necessarily against this idea. You just don't like the way it's been handled.
I don't like the way it's been handled. I don't like the fact that we're being told untruths about what it will produce.
We'll be back for a final short segment with Richard Schmidt. First, with pleasure, I remind you. Top of the hour, ABC Radio News. Then Jennifer Stover is going to join us tomorrow. Let me just give you a quick reminder. We've got the guy coming. He's going to join us, who's coming to the Clark Center for the Elton John tribute. And we've got free tickets to give away. So I would listen tomorrow. We are in our final segment with Richard Schmidt. Last text on the Stolberg Law KVC text line. A listener is trying to compare this to Enron. That seems a little extreme.
Yeah. Even though I used the word Enron while you weren't listening. But
well, it's more the process.
Well,
you're not claiming that they're being intentionally deceptive.
Okay, so here, let me kind of sum up my misgivings about it. We are being told over and over again that this is 100% renewable, 100% clean, non-fossil fuel, non-carbonized electricity that we are getting. It is nothing of the sort. In fact, what we are getting is the same electricity that everybody else in the region is getting from PG&E. It is approximately 40% fossil fueled, approximately 31% renewable, and believe it or not, 11%, we don't even know where it comes from, so that could be more fossil fueled energy. So that's my problem with it. We're being told that it's something that it's not. I ran across a great little quote from some guys who were debating the Constitution of the United States back in the late 18th century. It was somebody was talking about politicians that talk so finely and gloss over matter so smoothly to make us poor little people swallow down the pill. And I feel like that's what's happening here.
But in fairness, Richard, this is not just happening here. This is happening all over California.
It's happening all over California. And the propaganda is just a mile thick.
But we could hear from some people that I made the switch and I've saved money.
That's fine. That is the one thing that I think they're telling us that may be true. You'll save a small amount of money.
Do we have any idea when this is going to come up before the Board of Supervisors?
I do not know, but it'll be coming up sometime this year.
As I mentioned at the beginning, Paso Robles, Rio Grande, and Grover Beach, this starts next year. And then it's up to, I think Atascadero considered it and then decided not to do it right now.
Right.
And then the Board of Supervisors decide whether or not for the unincorporated areas. Richard Schmidt, we always appreciate your time. Final thoughts, sir?
Well, I just want to emphasize that I think in principle the idea of these sorts of agencies might be a good thing. I'm very sad to see it unfold the way it has unfolded with what we've been talking about here today.
All right, sir. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Off we go. We've got ABC Radio News. Craig is standing by the very latest in time-saver traffic and weather together. And then we will spend the 6 o'clock hour with Jennifer Stover. I'm Dave Congleton. Glad to have you with us. Stick around.